Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now we continue with our Pledge Drive series, where every day we'll end our show with Bill McDonald, the obituaries editor for the New York Times. Each morning, we're picking an obituary from the Times that day and talking about the life of that person who probably led an interesting life if they've got an obit in the Times. Bill McDonald, thanks again for doing the series with us.
Hello. How are you?
Good. And today's subject is Geza Vermesh, the theologian who placed Jesus firmly in the Jewish tradition of his times and who translated and made accessible the Dead Sea Scrolls. He died on May 8th at age 88. He had considerable impact on the current understanding of what's called the historical Jesus, right?
That's right. He was primarily known as the English translator of the Dead Sea Scrolls, but he used that knowledge to propound an idea that was actually somewhat unconventional in the early 70s and before then, which was that essentially recognizing that the historical Jesus predated Christianity and belonged to a tradition of Jewish teachers. This may sound like an obvious statement now, but back then, and maybe to some extent today, perceptions of the historical Jesus are influenced by religious biases, and he makes the point that our perception of Jesus now was really formed over 300 years after his death. So he was reaching back to a kind of historically rooted understanding of Jesus.
We have a 17-second clip of Geza Vermesh. This is from a BBC Desert Island Discs interview in 2000, speaking about his book, Jesus the Jew.
Of course, today, the title is taken almost as a cliché. Everybody accepts the fact. But when it first came out in 1973, a lot of conventional Christians thought that it was shocking.
A lot of conventional Christians thought it was shocking to refer to Jesus as Jesus the Jew in 73. Mm-hmm. Is it clear to you how the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls helped Dr. Vermesh connect Jesus to Judaism in the 1970s?
Well, you know, as you know, the scrolls were discovered in 1947 by a shepherd in a cave in the ancient world, the biblical world, and he did find through those scrolls an understanding of Jesus that hadn't been really available until then. These were quite revelatory documents, which painted a picture of that world, of the Jewish traditions in which he lived, thought, acted. And so I think, it definitely informed his whole discussion of Jesus.
And his personal story really left him uniquely positioned to connect the Christian Jesus with the historical Jewish figure. He was born in Hungary, I see, to non-observant Jewish parents who formally converted to Catholicism, but not until 1931, which was actually too late to avoid the Nazis. Mm-hmm. And then during the war, Dr. Vermesh was studying to be a priest, and the church did protect him. After the war, he left the priesthood and eventually returned to Judaism, but he worked throughout his career to connect the two. That's such an unusual life story.
It's extremely unusual, isn't it? I mean, he just living through that period of the Holocaust. His own parents were disappeared at a Nazi concentration camp, and to go back and forth from Judaism to Christianity and back again to Judaism. So certainly, he had a perspective that few other scholars would have, and which we find in so many of these stories, that the people who did things in life that really made a mark, they have amazingly interesting backgrounds, histories of their own.
And just in terms of how the obituary page comes together, Dr. Vermesh died a week ago. Do you wait for a formal announcement or seek out confirmation yourself? Why is that? Why are there different periods of lag between the death and the published obituary?
Well, we do seek official confirmation. We cannot assume anyone has died unless someone has told us and someone with some, authority. And then we have to do the research as well. Our writer, had to look into his work, his books, get an understanding of him through other scholars. We quote several from you know, from one from Yeshiva University, for example. So it does take research and writing, and it takes time. And often we don't hear about the death until two or three or maybe even more days after it actually happens. So we're already behind in a sense, and then we get going and do our due diligence. Good. And it might be a week before it actually gets in the paper.
There you go. Bill McDonald, Obit editor for the New York Times, will be back with us on Monday when we'll highlight another person's significant life, as we continue to do that to end each day of the Brian Lehrer Show during the membership drive. Bill, thanks again.
You're welcome. See you Monday.